Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business. So should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
Now back to Nick and Cecil on Sports Radio 1043 The Fan.
Nick and Cecil are off. My name is Sean Drotar, normally of The Fan Late Night. You can follow me at S Drotar. That's S-D-R-O-T-A-R. And you can follow our next guest at Justin Adams TV from CBS4, our friend Justin Adams. How you doing, Justin?
What's going on, Sean? How you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. Had a chance to thank you for coming on such short notice. We heard the news about the Pac-12 following the Big Ten going conference only when it comes to their fall sports, and we ended up talking back and forth on text and coming on with tonight. Thanks for doing that on such short notice. But what's your initial reaction to this? To me, I wasn't surprised. When we saw the Big Ten do this, it feels to me like it's just a matter of time until all the Power 5 conferences go this route. But what was your thought when you first heard the news?
They're trying to save money. That's the number one thing, is that it's the only thing that makes sense to me. Usually in non-conference games, what happens is you have teams like, let's say, Alabama, for example. They'll take on some FCS team or some lower tier Power 5 team, and they'll say, okay, here's some money or whatnot just to keep your program going for the other team. So they may host the lower tier program or whatnot and beat up on them, have those cupcake games. So now you don't have that. When I think initially about the Rocky Mountain Showdown, it's an ending to a great rivalry until 2023. And it would have been a huge game at Canvas Stadium. And Canvas Stadium is beautiful, by the way, as well. I mean, I just think of the crowd that could have been there, obviously. We don't know if fans would have been allowed in the stadium. But just to be able to have CU-CSU and for it to be cut off due to pandemic is tough, but it's the reality of the times that we're in. So it's definitely difficult to see that.
Yeah, and CSU was going to start its first two games against the Pac-12. They had Colorado.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, they had Oregon State, so now they have to adjust that as well. And Canvas Stadium, of course, you're right. It's a beautiful stadium, but there has been some challenges there. That new stadium filling it up, this was an immense opportunity to get the attention there, and now that ends up being gone. And you brought up something when you and I talked earlier today prior to the show, the idea that, you know, how is it necessarily safer for, say, the Buffaloes to go to Oregon than it is to hop on a bus and drive to Fort Collins?
Well, I'll tell you, how about this for CSU right now? Their first game right now, remember, they don't have CU and they don't have Oregon State. They're not traveling there. So their first game as of this second will be against Northern Colorado. So, again, we're in the same bubble that we were when you talk about what happens with CU and CSU. You're telling me that it's safer for a team to come from Greeley, Colorado, drive all the way down to Fort Collins, and play a football game. So it's safer for a team to get on a bus, drive down to the facility, play a game, get back on a bus, and then go back, rather than having a team, say, Oregon, their first game will be up against the Colorado Buffaloes. They'll have to literally get off, you know, come from Oregon, go on a bus, get on a flight, come from the flight, get back on a bus, have to stay overnight in a hotel, then come out of the hotel, get back on a bus, and then get to Folsom Field for the game. It's just so many different things where it's just, it's mind-numbing to say the least, where we're trying to justify that scenario under what Oregon has to do is safer than what a team like Northern Colorado, what they have to do to play against CSU.
That is an interesting way of putting it, because my first instinct is that this actually does make some sense for me, because obviously there, for the most part, a couple of teams in the Big 12, of course, you know, West Virginia over there, it is regional, but you're right, because it does seem like it's sort of a shotgun blast approach to solve something that maybe needed a scalpel, that where you look at, you know, maybe you save that game because it's in state. That is safer. Maybe you move some of these games around here and there because these are local, and it seems like maybe this was just a quicker way of handling it that seems on the surface that it makes sense. But when you break it down, a lot of it does seem to fall apart when it comes to the way a schedule would break down, for the exact reasons you're talking about, that it's somehow safer for the Buffaloes to take the bus to the airport, fly to Oregon, take the bus over to Autzen Stadium, then drive back on the bus, fly back to Denver, and get all the way back up to Boulder. Just drive back and forth to Fort Collins. That part doesn't make sense.
Right. It's mind-numbing again. But here's the biggest issue, and I don't think a lot of people are talking about this. This just shows the crack in the foundation of the NCAA. When I looked at the press release from what Colorado, University of Colorado sent out today and the Pac-12 sent out, something interesting caught my eye. The Pac-12 CEO group made this decision. The NCAA did not make this decision. That's extremely important to point out. So, for example, if the NCAA came out and said, as the governing body of all college athletics, we're going to say, hey, we're going to shut down all non-conference games due to the coronavirus pandemic, that would be one thing. But what you literally are doing is you're letting individual conferences be able to have their say on if we're going to have non-conference games or not, which comes out to the question, who's really running everything? Like, who's really running college football? Who's running college athletics? Is it the conferences or is it the NCAA? When it comes down to restrictions, oh, for sure, that's an NCAA type of deal, right? If there's a violation, NCAA steps in on that. But what's going on with the conferences? So it just really shows you, like, who's really the boss of this whole thing. And that's really what my beef is. 40% of the Power 5 conferences have just said that we're not going to have non-conference games. So what about SEC country, right? What are they going to do? What about ACC if they want to have the conference games, right? So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens here. But to me, this just shows the crack in the foundation that's happening with the NCAA.
And that's a good point, because what you are seeing is the conferences themselves are in charge, because these things are so powerful now. They have their own television networks. They're their own sort of organization that just sort of loosely works with the NCAA in a lot of ways. And that's why you're seeing this change, why we have Power 5 and then you have everyone else. It's sort of a class separation. And that may not be healthy for it. The ACC, Big 12, and SEC expect to wait till the end of July to see if they're going to make any sort of changes. But SEC ADs are expected to meet on Monday, and the ACC officials are also supposed to meet next week. Obviously, these things are all sort of tied together, because these are a lot of games. When you look at some of these games that are canceled out of the Pac-12, you're talking about there's an Oregon State versus Oklahoma State, Texas Christian at California, Michigan at Washington, USC at Bama, Ohio State at Oregon, CU at Texas A&M, Stanford at Notre Dame, and Notre Dame at UNC. These are all gone. And it becomes difficult for all of these conferences to start to reshuffle things unless they all go this exact route. So there's sort of a bit of pressure in the argument then was, even the other conferences, are they really in charge? Or when the Big Ten decided to do this, they were able to basically make that decision and flex their muscles, forcing almost all the other ones to have to make the change.
100%. But how about this? What do you do if you're a Hawaii? What do you do if you're BYU, right? BYU, they're not in a conference. What conference is BYU in? Right, they're independent. So what do you do if you're those teams, right? It just jumbles up so many different things. And then another point that, you know, we talked about a little bit earlier, how about the bowl system? Like, usually you have to win 6 games to get to a bowl game. If you only have 9 games on the schedule, then what? Do you only win 4 games? Do you have to win 5 games now? How about if you win 3, but those 3 games that you played, one was against a ranked team, and you know what? You look pretty good in that game, and you just had some bad luck in the rest of your games, right? I mean, what's going to happen? Again, this is my number one issue. There is no governing body, and it's just showing its ugly head right now. There is truly no governing body over college athletics. And when you don't have that happen, even though we all thought it was the NCAA, when you don't have one singular voice, you have a whole lot of chaos, and that's what we're seeing right now. Let me add one more thing too, Sean, for you. I was speaking to one official up at CU, and early on, just talking about coronavirus numbers. So you hear the numbers, hey, you know, 2 guys tested positive, or whatever the number was, testing positive, and you haven't heard too much recently. Well, one of the main reasons why, specifically in the Pac-12, is that you had 7 schools that will go and announce, yeah, we have this many guys that have tested positive. You had 5 who didn't. Well, what happens with the rest of the conferences, right? We heard about what happened with Clemson. We heard about what happened with Kansas State. But again, there's not one governing body that says you have to announce that a young man or a young woman has tested positive for COVID-19. So you could technically go up to game day right before kickoff, and you look and say, wow, why is the starting quarterback on the field? And they don't have to tell you that he tested positive for COVID-19. It's just ridiculous. Something has to happen so that there's consistency between the universities.
This cancellation or at least delay also affects men's and women's soccer, women's volleyball, and a lot of other mandatory activities. We're talking with CBS4's Justin Adams. And one of the things that I will say did go right is the Pac-12 did say that student athletes who will not participate in athletics due to safety concerns will continue to have their scholarships honored and remain in good standing with their team. The quote was, competitive sports are an integral part of the educational experience for our athletes, and while we do everything that we can to support them in achieving their dreams, at the same time ensuring their health and safety is at the forefront. That's a big move, because if the scholarships had been challenged, now the entire concept of amateurism comes into play. And I noted that that was a very significant part of the Pac-12's release, because what you're talking about does make sense. There is just sort of a three blind mice effect here. If everyone's just sort of running around, nobody knows who's in charge, everyone's just trying not to get sued.
Yeah, 100%. And that's why it's so good to see that, again, for as much as I just criticize the NCAA and for Pac-12 and all these other different places, like you just said, that's one thing that is done right, that at the end of the day, when we say student athletes, we get it. There's the athletic side that pays for absolutely everything. We get that. As one coach always told me, there's a reason why they build stadiums that are 50, 55,000 seat capacity for a football game, and they don't have the same thing really for graduations. Let's just call it what it is. Nobody's looking at aerospace and being like, yeah, let's have $50,000 capacity or 50,000 capacity stadiums for someone in aerospace, right? But in any case, it's really important that you see these young men and young women being able to say, hey, if I can't play athletics, if I can't play sports due to coronavirus, I'm still going to have a great opportunity to be able to get my education, be able to get my degree and move on. And that's a tremendous thing to see.
Could this move obviously maybe change the way that the Rocky Mountain Showdown goes? I mean, I don't think anybody would like to kick the can all the way down to 2023 now before they play again. Could maybe we see a resumption in the negotiations that might be able to make this happen sooner?
You hope so. You really do. And I believe last time, and again, don't quote me on this, I just remember having a conversation many years ago with one official who said actually the state jumped in, and some of the governing body actually jumped in and said, hey, we want to see this game. We want to see CU-CSU. But the problem is, again, is another issue with when you don't have one singular voice, a lot of these schools have already have their schedules put out for many years down the road, right? So like the Texas A&M game, that was several years down the road. The Buffs are going to take on Georgia Tech in a couple of years as well, right? They already have that signed, sealed, and delivered. So unless if something happens where maybe the two ADs can put their minds together and say, hey, let's maneuver a game or let's add a game, I don't see it happening until the scheduled date back in 2023.
He is Justin Adams. Follow him on Twitter at Justin Adams TV from CBS4. Always good to have you talking about some college football, especially in this case where, who knows, it is all up in the air. Thanks a bunch for your time, Justin.
Hey, Sean, anytime, man. Give me a ring anytime you need me.
Thanks so much. Always good to have Justin on there, of course. Former player with the Buffaloes, and an opportunity to speak to a guy who knows that world very, very well. This is a tough moment. The idea that CU and CSU can't play till 2023, that hurts. That doesn't feel right. Hopefully, with everything kind of being thrown up against the wall as this COVID-19 situation changes, maybe that's one of the things that can change for the positive as it goes on. It's tough to imagine you wouldn't have that game for that much of a time, especially given the fact that Justin's right. I understand why they want to go to all-conference play, but the truth of the matter is he's completely right. In theory, it's a lot safer just for the Buffs to go to Fort Collins than it is to take another trip to somewhere like Oregon or to California. That's just the reality of the situation. So hopefully they can find a way to start it back up once again. It's Friday. And what do they call it on Friday? What do you normally call it on Friday? Big Fun Friday?
Yeah, I think that's it.
Big Fun Friday, Fun Time Friday. I don't remember what it is. Big Fun Friday.
Yeah, Big Fun Friday.
Funny Friday, Big Fun Friday. Well, we're going to give you some, look, there's some sports to watch. There's some streaming stuff to watch. Kyle and I are going to try to give you some tips to get your weekend started. We'll do that next.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC.
First Bank. Banking for good.